Okay, so picture this. You're walking down the street, and suddenly your glasses light up with the name of someone you haven't seen in years.
Like, whoa, blast from the past, right?
Right. But no, this isn't a scene from Minority Report. This is like the future of smart eyewear that we're diving into today.
Yeah, it's really fascinating stuff. We're talking augmented reality, sensor-packed glasses, the whole shebang, and like why it matters, not just the tech itself.
Exactly, getting past the hype. So, like, remember those bulky headsets from a few years back? Not exactly a fashion statement. What's different now?
Well, tech has come a long way, right?
Yeah.
Lighter materials, battery life is crazy good now, and the
They're
designs.
actually kind of cool.
Yeah, you got it. Think less RoboCop, more like, are those the new Warby Parkers?
Okay, I can get behind that. But, like, why is this time different? What makes this more than just a tech trend?
I think it comes down to, like, comfort, for sure. But even more, it's social acceptance. Think about it. The human face is how we connect. Those early devices, like even Google Glass, they were innovative, but kind of intrusive. People weren't ready for their every blink analyzed.
Yeah, they were kind of the butt of the joke for a while there.
For sure. But now everything's smaller, sleeker. Imagine almost invisible sensors right in the frames. They track your eye movements, maybe even things like fatigue or stress.
Hold on, stress levels. Like, how do those glasses tell the difference between me, like, glued to a thriller versus freaking out about a deadline?
That's where it gets really wild. We're talking about sensors that measure tiny changes, your heart rate, even your skin, and
Yeah.
combining that with eye tracking.
Okay, that's pretty sci-fi.
Right. It's like a window into how our minds are working in real time.
So it's like that whole quantified self thing, but instead of steps, it's our brainwaves.
You got it. And that's what's so exciting about this research, this whole idea of data-driven science, this paper we're looking at from UBComp ISWC18, which is a huge computer science conference.
So, like, legit stuff.
Totally. They're saying this could revolutionize psychology, sociology, everything, because now we're getting real-world data, not just lab stuff.
Okay, I see where you're going with this. Like, imagine the insights. We could track how students learn in real time. Personalized education.
Exactly. Or develop therapies for like attention disorders based on actual data. It's huge.
This is seriously blowing my mind. But it's not just about seeing inside our heads, right? What about the whole visual aspect of smart eyewear?
Oh, totally. It's not just about tracking our internal world. It's about augmenting our external reality, too.
Okay, now you're speaking my language. Give me all the augmented reality goodness.
Imagine walking through a museum and boom, information about the artifact just pops up right there in front of you. Or needing directions, and instead of fumbling with your phone, they're overlaid right on the street in real time.
It's like having the internet projected directly onto the world. Talk about a game changer.
Hmm.
But with all this incredible potential, there have to be some challenges, right? I mean, strapping tech to our faces can't be all sunshine and roses.
You're absolutely right. And this paper we're discussing doesn't shy away from those challenges.
Okay, spill the tea. What are we talking about here?
Well, there are the obvious things like battery life, processing power, making sure the visuals are sharp enough to be useful, but not so in your face they're distracting.
Right, because the last thing I need is my glasses giving me a headache on top of my screen time headache.
Exactly. But what I found really interesting were the less obvious challenges, the stuff that gets into the whole user experience.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What kind of challenges are we talking about?
Well, comfort is a big one. And I don't just mean how it feels on your face, although that's important. I mean potential eye strain, especially with prolonged use.
Yeah, that makes sense. Staring at screens all day is already hard enough on the eyes.
Right, exactly. The paper even mentioned something they call perceptual issues that can happen when you've constantly got information overlaid on your vision. Like imagine getting a headache from your glasses trying to tell you too many things at once.
Ouch. That doesn't sound fun. So it's not just about cramming in cool features, it's about making this technology something people can actually use every day.
Exactly. And that's where the paper gets really interesting. It highlights something they call user-centered design.
Which basically means?
It means making sure that smart eyewear is developed with the end user in mind all the time.
It makes sense. I mean, what good is groundbreaking tech if it's too uncomfortable or distracting to use? So how do we avoid turning these futuristic glasses into high-tech headaches?
The researchers advocate for a collaborative approach. They call it an open eyewear platform.
Okay, I've heard of open source software, but open eyewear, what does that even look like?
It's kind of like, imagine if every company making phones also made their own unique charging cable.
Oh, the worst.
Total nightmare. but with open eyewear, instead of each company doing their own thing, it'd be more like Android.
Okay, so like a shared platform for smart eyewear, that makes way more sense. But isn't that like a massive undertaking to organize?
It's ambitious, for sure.
Yeah.
But this paper argues that's kind of the point, this open collaboration thing. It's key to solving those design issues, the usability stuff.
Makes sense. Two heads are better than one and all that.
Right. Sharing the research, the best practices, even the code means less chance of repeating mistakes.
So a united front against tech headaches, I like it. But for real, though, who's behind this whole open eyewear idea? Are we talking like some random techies in a basement or...
Oh, no. This workshop was the real deal. Like, the keynote speakers were Professor Thad Starner and Ozan Kakmachi.
Names don't really ring a bell.
They did a ton of work on Google Glass, early days.
Okay, now you're talking. But let's say, hypothetically, I'm designing smart glasses now. What's the one must-have feature?
Ooh, that's tough. So many cool directions you could go. But for me, it'd have to be something with augmented reality, but like for social situations.
Wait, like relationship status updates floating over people's heads? That'd be kind of handy, not gonna lie.
No, think more like subtle cues. Helping us read those awkward moments better.
So, like, my glasses could tell me if someone's about to interrupt. Because that is, like, a superpower I need.
Exactly. Or imagine if they could tell when someone's uncomfortable but trying to hide it.
Hold on. Seriously. How would they even...
Remember those sensors we talked about? Heart rate, skin stuff? Turns out, our bodies kind of betray us. Even when we try to play it cool.
So my glasses become a lie detector, but for awkward first dates.
Kind of. But that brings up another good point. All this data, it's super personal.
Yeah, no kidding. It's one thing to track my steps. It's another, if my glasses know I'm, like, sweating over here.
This paper talks about that, the privacy and security stuff. It's QGE.
Because once it's OUT there, it's out there.
Right. So transparency is key. Users need control over what data is being collected, how it's used, and the ability to say, not for me.
It's like that old saying, with great power
comes great responsibility. Yeah. You got it. But let's imagine for a sec that we figured that part out. What other crazy innovations could come from smart eyewear?
So many possibilities. It's like, where do we even start? We've got emotion reading, social cue detectors. What other sci-fi gadgets are lurking around the corner?
Okay, get this. Real-time language translation.
No way. Like, straight out of Star Trek?
Yeah. Imagine talking to someone and their words just pop up as subtitles right in your glasses. No more awkward phrase book moments.
Okay, that is seriously cool.
Yeah.
Especially for someone who can barely speak anything besides English. What about, like, more serious applications, like in healthcare maybe?
Perfect example.
Yeah.
Picture a surgeon, hands busy, but they've got patient vitals, maybe even those critical x-ray images layered right over their view.
Whoa, that's next level.
Right. Or what about glasses that could help people with visual impairments to see, but by translating that visual input into sound or even touch.
See, that's the kind of stuff that gives me chills. It's not just about making life easier. It's about using tech to actually, like, level the playing field.
Exactly. And that's what I love about all this research. It's about pushing the limits, seeing what's truly possible when we connect humans and this tech.
So we've covered the good, the needs work, the whole nine yards. But before we go, I gotta ask, what advice would you give to someone who's, like, hyped about this future, but also a little, you know, cautious?
That's smart to be cautious. I always say technology is a tool. And like any tool, it can be used for good or bad. So it's on all of us, not just the tech geniuses, to make sure smart eyewear is used the right way.
So it's like we're all figuring this out together as we go.
100%. Having those open conversations about the good and the bad is how we shape this future responsibly.
Couldn't have said it better myself. And on that note, listeners, it's time to put your thinking caps on. If you could have smart eyewear, anything goes, what would it do? What problem needs solving?
Hit us up on social media. Let us know. Who knows? Maybe you'll inspire the next big breakthrough.
Until next time, everyone, keep those minds curious and those eyes peeled for those aha moments.
Catch you on the next deep dive.